What do you find is the most offensive or embarrassing part of the gospel? What do you find is the most offensive or embarrassing part of the gospel as you share it with other people? Is it the exclusiveness of the gospel, that there is only one way? Is it communicating to good people that they are in fact sinners who need to repent, or they will face God's judgment and hell? Or is it the sense that we struggle with within ourselves, like, who am I to tell my neighbour who is of another spirituality or religion? Who am I to tell them that what they are devoted to, what they have put their hopes in, is not true, will come to nothing? Who am I to tell somebody what is right or wrong, or what is true, or what to do with their life? Sharing the gospel can bring all sorts of reactions, not just in ourselves, but from others. Sharing the gospel can be really hard. We received it with joy. We are thankful for the people who took their time and were bold to explain the gospel to us. We are grateful for it. We receive it as good news. But as we proclaim the gospel, many people will not be thankful that we've shared that with them. In fact, there is a great cost to somebody who's going to be bold and faithful with proclaiming the gospel. There is a great cost for you, Jerome, proclaiming the gospel up in the Kimberley. We can easily find ourselves starting to pull back from being bold with the gospel. We do that because it is hard, it is discouraging when people reject the gospel. But when they reject us, when we jeopardize relationships because people all of a sudden back right off from us, or even accuse us of narrow-mindedness, of bigotry, and the list can go on and on. It can be so hard for us to keep going as proclaimers of the gospel because we find it very hard to find the perseverance. It is easy for us to become cowards. And so I've called this message Calling All Cowards. I'm not calling you a coward, Jerome. But if you were like me and all of us here, if you were like Timothy, who Paul writes this letter to, you are going to be in situations and temptations like we all face, which is just to back off on those things that are going to be offensive and make our relationships and situations potentially difficult. We can resign ourselves to the fact of, I will talk about it if they ask me, but I'm not going to be the one to go there to bring it up. Calling all cowards. What will keep us from being ashamed of the gospel? What will keep you, brother, from being ashamed of the gospel? We're just going to look at three things in this passage today. It's certainly not going to be exhaustive. There's many things that we don't get to look at today. But three things that will help us from being ashamed of the gospel. The first one, verses 6 to 8, is to rely on the power of God. Verse 7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or cowardly. Those of us who are in Christ have received the Holy Spirit. It is in us. And the Spirit does not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice. If we're experiencing that, if that is what we are living out, we are not drawing upon the power of the Spirit. Instead, this is what the Spirit does give us: power, love, self-discipline. The resources that we do not have. We do not have the boldness to keep on proclaiming the gospel. We do not have the perseverance, the strength, but this power is here for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Love can be such a difficult thing at times, to have a heart that loves people that aren't lovely, to love people that treat us poorly, that maybe react badly to our ministry, to the gospel message. We do not have the reserves and the resources to love as we truly should. But the Holy Spirit gives us the capacity, the ability to love. Self-discipline. Self-discipline is so important. But most of us struggle with self-discipline, don't we? How can we be disciplined people? How can you, Jerome, be someone who is disciplined in the things that you must be? In prayer, daily committing yourself and your ministry to the Lord. How can you be disciplined in that? How can you be disciplined in thinking and feeling right day by day in the things that God has called you to do? Discipline, the discipline of being in God's word, letting that shape the way that you think and the way that you act and the way that you feel. The disciplines of committing your ministry, learning, growing, and ministering in the power of the Spirit through the word of God is a discipline. You will struggle with that, but the help is yours with the Holy Spirit. So we are all inclined to be timid and cowards, but there is power, love, and self-discipline for us. So Paul says in verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And don't be ashamed of me, as many people are, as he is in prison again. And this is his last writings that we know of in 2 Timothy, soon to be executed. He doesn't look so impressive to so many people. And neither does his gospel message now, as many people are ashamed and are turning away. But he doesn't just say to Timothy, there will be some hard times, there will be some hardships and some sufferings occasionally. Grin and bear it, push through it. He says something far more bold than that. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel. Don't just deal with it when it comes. This is willingly embrace it. Willingly step into suffering for the gospel. Well, three questions are, how could you do that? Who could do that? Why would you do that? Willingly step into suffering. How can you do it? It tells us, by the power of God. You cannot do it on your own, but you can with the power of God. Who can do it? Anybody with the Spirit of God in them. And why would you do it? That leads us to our next point. Recognize the purpose of God's grace in the gospel. Verse 9, we know that we have been saved. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, it says. Not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. God has had this grace from the beginning of time. It's such a wonderful passage. And he's revealed it through the appearing of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul says, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher of this gospel. And that's why I'm suffering as I am. But we have received a gospel that is not just for us. Jesus Christ has been revealed to us, but he needs to continue to be revealed through his gospel message. The purpose is not just for us. It is necessary for everybody to come to know Jesus Christ. We have the responsibility of being heralds, revealing Jesus Christ through his gospel message. Do you remember in 2018 in Thailand, there was the caving incident with those boys from the soccer team? 12 Thai boys and their coach, they went caving one day and then the water started to rise as they were deep in this cave. It looked like an impossible rescue. They said there's no way to get them out the way that they came in. And they tried for days and days and days. There's got to be another way. They had people exploring all over the mountains, trying to find other ways down into this cave to rescue them. They tried imaging the cave and the mountain to find other ways. For 18 days, they were stuck underground. But there was, they discovered, only one way. As they followed that rope, they were pulled out. They were actually drugged because they had to be taken far beyond their own skill level. They couldn't handle it. They had to be drugged and taken through with scuba tanks through big portions of these caves, stage by stage. It wasn't by anything that they had done. Their rescuers had pulled them through. And they all survived. But there was one way. Following the rope that was set all the way through. Hold firm to that. Keep going following that. But we are ones who have been rescued by the gospel. And we have that one way message that the world needs to know. The light of the world that is in darkness. The world that is lost and hopeless without Jesus Christ. We must proclaim it. It is not just for me, not just for you. We are to be heralds and proclaimers of that one message of salvation, even if we suffer for it. And the last point, refuse to change the pattern to be followed. Verse 13 to 18. What you heard from me, Paul says to Timothy, keep as the pattern, sound teaching. We already saw that before about guarding your doctrine. Good doctrine is important. Paul verified that what Timothy has understood of the gospel is the true gospel. To stay firm with it, keep and guard that. Verse 14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you with the Holy Spirit's help. That is the gospel. Now, the temptation for us is, because people react so badly so often to the gospel, is to change it. I'll water it down a bit. I will soften it. I will make it a little bit more palatable, a little less offensive. So then we might get more people responding or maybe thinking better of me. We can be self-serving. But when we change the gospel, it loses its truth. It loses its power. It's no longer the gospel of Jesus Christ. So keep sound teaching with sound living. Verse 13 says that we are to have that faith and love in Christ Jesus. With the gospel that we hold firm to and proclaim, we have the life that is authentically lived out by it. We saw it earlier with love and self-discipline. They're going to be observable characteristics. So too, faith and love will be seen and known. Not desertion. Verse 15, such a sad verse. Paul says, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. How sad. People have turned away from supporting Paul. People have turned away from supporting the gospel message. Phygellus and Hermogenes, guys that he probably expected to stay true and to stay with him. So do not desert, even when things are difficult. But instead, be devoted, like Onesiphorus. Verse 16 to 18, be like him. I love what Paul says. He often refreshed me. He went out of his way to find me in Rome. He encouraged me and helped me often in Ephesus. May you, as a church at Woodvale, be Onesiphorus's, Onesiphori, for Jerome. May Jerome's testimony be, oh, my family at Woodvale, they often refreshed me. they were a help to me. They encouraged me. They went out of their way for me. We all need Onesiphoruses. We all need people because we are all called to be heralds of the gospel. We all struggle and can be cowards. Not the spirit that we have. We have, rather than one of cowardice, one of power, love, and self-discipline. Jerome, you are going to be tempted to be cowards, as I am, as we all are. But remember these things. Rely on the power of God. Recognize the purpose of God's grace in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And refuse to change the pattern that has been set for you. Thanks, Rob. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Brendan. I just want to draw your attention to a few moments, building on what Brendan has said on praying for those who are sent. And if you wanted to give it a subtitle, you would call it How to Be an Onesiphorus to Jerome. Early in my ministry, many years ago, I came across a pamphlet that was written by a former missionary, and the pamphlet was entitled Lord Bless Charles. And the purpose of the pamphlet was to encourage churches to pray for missionaries, but also to give some specifics about how to pray for missionaries, beyond just saying, Lord bless Charles, and hence the name of the pamphlet. And it was very practical. That particular pamphlet, written by the former missionary, was built around Colossians chapter 1. I'm just going to refer for a few moments to 2 Thessalonians, but I'm building in some things from other passages. But I remember at the time that I read it, that I found it very encouraging, because often what happens when we do pray, and as I mentioned last week, and it comes into this area of people who are sent out as missionaries as well, often we are at a bit of a loss to know how to pray for people who are sent, for those who are out on the mission field. And so I just want to give you very briefly some prayer points as we commission Jerome this morning. And as I said, he writes great prayer letters, and you will find plenty of things to pray about, but sometimes you might be at a bit of a loss. And so hopefully the things that I share here just for the next few moments will encourage you, when you think of Jerome, how to pray for him, how to be an Onesiphorus to him. So my first point is called Lord Bless Jerome. So there are some passages, these will come up, and I encourage you to read these passages. If we could just have those up, please. As I said, we're not going to go through them all, but I'm just drawing together a few aspects of prayer. But the passages I would encourage you to look at and read as you grow in your life of prayer are these passages: Ephesians 6, verses 19 to 20, Colossians 1, 9 to 12, and chapter 4, 2 to 4, Philippians 4, 10 to 19, and the passage that I'm referring to this morning, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. You will find an enormous amount of encouragement on how to pray for those who are sent, but also for each other. A word about the 2 Thessalonians passage. What is really significant, the verses that we're looking at, comes at the end of chapter 1, but Paul has been talking here about the return of Christ and the fact that he wants to see the Thessalonian church standing firm in Christ. And so he wraps up with these thoughts. He says, to this end also we pray for you always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, in order that the name of your Lord Jesus, of our Lord Jesus, may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jerome has personal needs. We all know that. So how do we pray for his personal needs? Pray for Jerome for a life of integrity. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 11, I'm using the New Living Translation here, says, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. The call that Paul talks about here is actually not the call to preach the gospel. It's talking about our calling in Christ, the fact that he called us out of darkness into light. And so my encouragement to you this morning, as you think of Jerome, and Jerome, as we send you off, we pray for you a life of integrity, that you will live a life worthy of your calling in Christ, of who you are in Christ. Folks, this prayer is of a life of integrity is of absolute importance today. We are seeing far too many people who have been in Christian ministry who are falling by the wayside. And so, Jerome, we stand with you today and pray for a life of integrity, that you will not become another statistic, that you will live a life worthy of your calling in Christ. Pray for Jerome for God to be glorified. Paul says in verse 12 that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified. It's interesting because he refers to a desire for goodness. What he's talking about is that there is a desire in those of us who love Christ to do good things and to see that as a work of faith with power. As Brendan reminded us, doing that in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray for Jerome that through his ministry and through his life, that God will be glorified. And the interesting thing is that when Paul talks about this glorifying of God, this is the wonder of it, that as people see Jesus in us and glorify Jesus, we are glorified in him, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. So, Jerome, we pray for God to be glorified. I've been reading at different times sections of the book of Acts in recent times, and it just amazes me, the things that the apostles did, but it was always about glory to Jesus. So when you think of Jerome, pray for God to be glorified. Pray for him to know God's will. Colossians 1 verse 9 says, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will. That means a full and exact knowledge. So when you pray for Jerome, pray that he might know the will of God, but also the idea of the will of God is that it has more and more influence on our life. That our lives, that his life will be controlled by God's will, a desire to do it, that it will become the controlling factor in his life. Brendan alluded to this about persevering in the gospel. So we pray for perseverance for Jerome and for all missionaries and for all of us. Colossians 1:11 says, Paul says, I pray for all the endurance and patience you need. Again, Brendan alluded to this, that there will be people who are antagonistic to the message. And the word endurance in this verse refers to the patience that is gained through testing situations. Pray for a patience that does not give up but produces hope. We want to see that in Jerome. We want to see that in all of our lives. The word patience is specifically directed towards showing mercy towards people who are antagonistic. As we were reminded, there will be times, there are times when people are antagonistic to the gospel. How do we respond? How will Jerome respond? Pray for a heart of patience towards those antagonistic people, a heart that will show mercy. Pray for joy. Paul says in Colossians 1, his heart for the Colossians church is that you may be filled with joy. And then he goes on and talks about joy with all thankfulness. And so we pray for Jerome to know God's peace and his presence that will bring joy. And with it, the attitude of gratitude. So pray for joy. These are the specific personal needs that we want to pray. But there are ministry needs. Let me just give them to you briefly. As you think of Jerome, as you pray for him, as you pray for others who are sent, pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Paul writes in Colossians 4, pray that God will give us many opportunities to speak. So pray for God to open the hearts of people that Jerome ministers to and builds relationships with. Pray that there will be an openness to the gospel and that doors will open up for him to share Christ with others. But Paul didn't leave it there. He also requested and encouraged, pray to know what to say. There will be situations Jerome finds himself in. Ephesians 6:19, Paul says, ask God to give me the right words. Jerome will find himself in situations where perhaps he's at a loss for words. Pray that God will give him the right words at the right time, a word in season. And that with that comes a sense of wisdom, a desire to listen to those that he's sharing with and ministering to. A heart that is open to them. And then as the Spirit leads him to provide the right word at the right moment. And again, I was really encouraged to hear Brendan talk about this boldness. To all of us as cowards at times, Pray for Jerome for courage. Paul mentioned it twice in Ephesians 6. He said, pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him. I referred to the book of Acts a moment ago. One of the things that strikes you is that they prayed for boldness to share the gospel. And this came at a time on one particular occasion where the church is gathered for prayer. The apostles have just been thrown in prison. They've been let out because they can't keep them in prison. But they told them, you cannot go and speak in the name of Jesus. And the apostles come back. They've said to the leaders, of the religious leaders, that look, whether that's right or wrong, we don't, you know, what you're telling us to do, we don't know whether that's right or wrong. But we cannot help but speak in the name of Jesus and tell others about him. And the church hears this testimony and they pray in the midst of all this persecution and all this antagonism to the gospel, they pray for courage. I think it's really significant today that we are setting aside Jerome for this ministry in Indigenous communities, given what has taken place in our country over this past week. The terrible tragedy of what is happening and the way in which Indigenous people are being torn apart. It's significant, Jerome, that you're going into a community to minister the love and grace of Christ, and you're going to step into, quite possibly at times, a dangerous situation. So we pray for you for courage to share Christ and to do that, and that will only come through the power of the Spirit. So when you think of Jerome, pray for that. And pray also for him to bear fruit. Paul prayed for the Colossians to produce every kind of good fruit. I encourage you to pray and to think these things through. I'm going to put this into a little pamphlet for you next week that will be available, and you can just slip it into your Bibles. If you have a prayer letter from Jerome or other missionaries, this will encourage you and remind you of how to pray. But I want to conclude just with this thought. This is our prayer for Jerome. This is our prayer for you this morning. Jerome the Boab Birch. And if you want to know why he selected that as his prayer letter, it's been that way for a number of years, I encourage you to ask him later on, but I just want to pick up on it. As you know, your last name is Birch, and I've got a picture here of a birch tree. I was sharing this with Jerome this week. He didn't know this. The birch tree is a symbol of renewal, protection, purity and new beginnings across cultures. Isn't that interesting? Renewal, protection, purity, and new beginnings across cultures. We pray that for you, that that will be your life. The birch tree sheds its bark every year and grows new layers. It represents a clean slate and an opportunity to start over. And so we pray that that will be the message you take of the gospel to the Indigenous communities, an opportunity to start over and find new life in Christ. But Jerome also selected the Boab. A couple of weeks ago, Karen and I did a little tour around Kings Park. We got onto one of those free walking tours. We've been going to do it ever since we came to Perth 32 years ago. We finally got around to it. We are fast movers in the Furlong family. And part of the tour takes you to the Boab tree. I don't know if you've seen it, the big Boab tree that they've got planted in Kings Park. What's interesting, we learned this, that particular one is 750 years old. And it came on a journey from the Kimberley, 3,200 kilometres away. It's the largest land journey for a tree that size on the back of a truck that has ever been taken in the world. And they had to cut the roots off, but they transported it from the Kimberley down to Perth, and then they replanted it in Kings Park on the 20th of November 2008, wondering what would happen, and it's thriving. It is a symbol. Sorry, we got too early. Thank you. It is thriving because it is a symbol of resilience and endurance. We pray that for you, Jerome. Now we can have the next picture. This is the other side of the tree. Our guide pointed this out. On the other side, there are all these blotches, and you can see some of them there. That's where the tree, that was the site it was laid on when it was brought down on its long trip from the Kimberley, and that's where it rotted. Here is the amazing thing. Now, the blotches are clearing up. Do you know how they clear up? It regrows from the inside out. And so the tree is repairing itself. And so, Jerome, we pray for you that you will continue to grow in Christ from the inside out. So our prayer for you, Jerome, the Boab birch, is expressed in these beautiful words of Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 to 8. And I've got a part of it there. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They are like trees planted along a riverbank. I'm going to pray that prayer for you now, and then our team is going to come and close our service. But this is our prayer for you, Jerome, based on these wonderful words found in the book of Jeremiah. Let me invite you to pray with me as we pray this for Jerome. Our Father, we thank you for Jerome. Thank you for this special morning that we can be gathered here together to commission him and to share with him in partnership as he takes the gospel out. And so, Lord, this is our prayer for him. May Jerome be blessed as he trusts in the Lord. May his trust in the Lord grow deep. We pray that he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. And Lord, we pray it sincerely. Would you bless our young brother Jerome in every way? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.